Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
She's real fine, my 409, my 409.
And I'm not talking a cleanser. That's the spray that, isn't there a 409 spray cleanser? Okay, sorry. 720 WGN, John Landecker, good evening and 8 minutes after 9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. And yes, that is an automobile that you heard. Beach Boys 409, we're talking cars right now. All about the cars. What to do with them? How we buy them? Are there sales going on? What's happening? And we're going to, we got Tom Appel on the phone. He is the publisher, Consumer Guide Automotive. And you can read the Consumer Guide Daily Drive blog at blog.consumerguide.com. Hey, Tom, how are you?
I am well, thank you.
Thank you. I'm going on a completely different tangent for a second. They don't write songs about cars anymore, do they?
Wow, I hadn't thought about it, but no, they don't seem to.
No, you know, I was thinking about it today because I'm like, you know, well, what am I going to use if Tom's coming on? What songs can I get? And then you go back to these ones you've heard a million times, 409, Shutdown, Loose Coupe, GTO. Then there's this one called, I guess it's Little Red Corvette.
That's true.
Although that's not really about a car, but I'm not going to go there. I got to find it. Maybe I'll use it coming back after the first break. It's about somebody buying a Mercury. And then there's Hot Rod Lincoln. Hold on. But these are all, you know, they're not current. You know, there's no song about a Tesla. You know what I mean?
There is no Tesla song. That's true.
Not only that, but it wouldn't make any noise.
about 10 years ago, Mark Knopfler wrote a song about a GMC medium duty truck. That's as much as I can think of.
Well, that's more than I... Oh, trucks. Sure. I bet there's some country songs about trucks. But I'm not that familiar with country music, but there's got to be.
Yeah, plenty of
those.
There's
got to be. And then there was Chevy Van by a guy named Sammy Johns or whatever. But
sure.
It just seems to me that there was, like, way more cartoons, for lack of a better term. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about, boys and girls. Here we are. It's this time of year, and normally, you know, you have to take steps to prepare your car. But this year, it's a little different, it seems to me, in that traveling is going to be probably down quite a bit if people decide to actually take advantage of what the protocols say you should do. Has it affected the approach to what you think we should do with our automobiles now to get ready for the winter?
No. When the cold comes, you'll wish you did stuff, or you'll be glad you did stuff to get your car ready for the cold. And the stuff you need to do these days, it's a shorter list than it was, say, 30 years ago.
Like what?
Well, a good place to start is to check your tires. And this is a big deal, especially because we get so much snow here in Chicago. And that the freezing pavement, too, is often lower friction. So good tires are a must. If your tires are old or you think they're old, this is a great time to replace them. But if you're not going to do that or you don't need to, be sure to check the pressure. And you've probably heard this a bunch of times, but it's very true. You lose air pressure in your tires as it gets colder outside.
Right.
Usually something like 2 or 3 PSI every 10 degrees. And that's kind of a dangerous situation. If you don't know how to check your own tires, run to most tire stores. They'll do it for you. But it's a great thing to do. Also, be aware that the tire pressure monitors that are in most modern cars now are pretty erratic in the winter.
I'll say.
If your light goes on, it may not be emergency, but do check it out.
Right. You're going to tell I know nothing about this by the questions that are about to follow. So the tire does not regain any of its pressure as it warms up on the road? Is that a stupid question? You know what I'm saying?
No, that's actually a super smart question, and that does happen. And you will pick up a little bit. You're not going to pick up nearly enough to make up for the colder outside air. But, yes, you will pick up some air pressure as the car is moving and as the tire warms up.
And maybe it doesn't mean as much as it did back in the day of the gas guzzler, but also the tire pressure can affect minimally, at least, gas mileage, I would think.
Yep, that's still true. And yeah, for optimal fuel economy, you want to get your tire pressure where it should be. And I should mention that you can check your tire pressure either in the owner's manual or on a little label in the door jamb on the driver's door.
You know what really ticks me off about, I'm not going to mention the brand names, but we have my wife's car. Okay, you've got your four regular tires, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular model car, the spare is a full-size tire, which is attached to, which has its own pressure monitor, I believe. So you're driving along, and all of a sudden that stupid icon comes on that says your tire's low, right? And so I'll pull over, and I check. And I go, no, they're fine. I get in. I start driving. That damn thing is still on. I stop again. Check. I go, wait a minute. Don't tell me. I get down on the ground and crawl under the back of the car to where this spare is. And sure enough, the spare has leaked some air and is causing the icon to come on the dashboard. It's not any of the tires that are actually the car is actually using. It's the spare tire that leaked. And that just, for some reason, that really irritates me that the spare tire is hooked into the rest of the system, because it just seems to me like that shouldn't have to affect everything else. Because, you know, people are – I react to it. I worry maybe a little – too much, but you know, I go to check on that stuff, and I'm like, and I gotta get on the ground and like crawl underneath this damn thing, so I can take a reading of the air pressure in it, and it's just like, oh, it's not fun. Let me just put it that way.
Now, John, I have to make a full confession here. I was not aware that any of the spare tires were hooked into that system, so I just learned something. I thank you.
I don't know if all, you know what, I don't remember any other model car that I've ever had having that trouble. It is. And for this one, and I'm not going to mention the car or anything like that, but I've had to do it multiple times. And I can't find, you know, I buy new pressure gauges, I do this, I do that. And lo and behold, if you wanted the light to go off, you had to put air into the spare. And that rhymes. And it just made me crazy, because the first time it happened, it was like in winter and I'm lying on the ground and it's icy and snow and all of that. And
yeah, that's no good.
You know, I'm concerned. You know what the coolest, I got to say, I'm bouncing all over the place now. The coolest air pressure thing I saw on a car was I had an, I think it was a 1974, 1976 Volkswagen Bug.
Sure.
And the pressure that made the windshield wipers go back and forth.
Yeah.
Was it came from the spare tire in the front. It was directly attached to the spare tire. So the spare tire pressure was responsible for, I just thought it was genius. I thought, you know, that is just a really, somebody's not on the ball. I mean,
yeah, the windshield washer fluid, too, I believe, was attached to the same air reservoir. Yeah,
it's wild. I thought just a great use of what was available, and obviously a very simplistic technical approach. You know, all you're doing is tapping a spare tire to have the windshield wiper and the washer come on. And I've never forgotten that. And it's just one of those things that, that's sort of cool. Yeah, I just think that's sort of cool. More on cars and with Tom. When we come, if anybody has any questions, by the way, fire away, man. You know, that's what we're here for. 312-981-7200. Talking more cars when we come back on 720 WGN. We were talking about songs about cars. Here's something by David Lindley. And then we're going to get back to Tom. Long intro. I could have done the whole commercial here.
If I had to
All right, he's crazy about a Mercury. Good for him. John Landecker at 720 WGN. Tom Appel, who is the publisher, Consumer Guide Automotive. Read the Consumer Guide Daily Drive blog at blogconsumerguide.com, is with us on the phone. And I believe we have a question at three or a comment at 312-981-7200. Hey, Bob. Hello.
Hey, John. How are you?
Good.
Okay. Having been a former owner of said Beetle, which I refer to as Hitler's Revenge.
Yeah, okay.
My question, which of course I have the answer to, is what do you do when you get a flat tire in the rain? Now you have to disconnect said spare tire.
That's true.
Okay. Now you're in a rain. Now you're in a rainstorm.
Right.
And where's your air coming from?
You got, well, a pump. I don't know. Is that what it
was? No, it's real simple.
Where?
You carry an air pig.
An air pig?
Yeah, an air pig. It's a spare air tank that you carry on road service calls to pump up someone's tire.
Gotcha.
Put the tank in the next to the spare tire holder.
And away you go.
And you strap it down.
Yeah.
And you rehook, and away you go.
All right, Bob. Thanks for the call. You know, they still sell stuff like that. Not exactly, you know, Insta-flat, you know, fix your flat in a second, spray this into the tire. We're back with Tom. Now you know more about the Volkswagen than you want to do, don't you? Isn't that right, Tom?
I spent a lot of time in Beetles back in the 80s. I had a couple of buddies with Beetles. So I'm fairly familiar with the minimalistic experience.
That's a good term, the minimalistic experience. What you're the car expert. What do you think your consumer guide best buys are about now? You know, because coming up to the end of the year, so obviously there would be last year's models that haven't been sold need to be making room for the ones coming in, I'm assuming?
Yeah, this is the strange thing about 2020, and there are so many strange things about 2020. But the car situation is very weird, and one of the things that happened was that production ceased for a fairly long period of time, and then production took a while to ramp up, and even now, production isn't fully ramped up. The result is that even though car sales have been slow in 2020, and they'll be off by about 3 million units from 2019, the supply is very low. And what this means is that there aren't that many bargains to be had, and there won't be that many leftover cars
when
the year end comes. So if you're looking for a great bargain, you can shop around and check rebates, but there aren't a lot of huge deals to be had right now because there just aren't that many cars on dealer lots.
Yes, and you know, I know some dealers send out requests that they're looking for used cars because they can't keep up the supply. Have I gotten one so far this year? No, maybe I haven't. I would get a car just about every year like, hey, you know what? You've got your car, but you know, we always need more used cars. If you want to come on in and make a deal, but maybe this year it's different because of what you were just saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes that's a bit of a come on, and they just want you to think that your trade is worth a lot. So
I know.
Buy a lot of new car. But this year they're actually looking for used cars.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They really are. My wife has been. We own a Subaru, and my wife has been reached out to a couple of times.
No kidding.
For that vehicle, which means that your trade is worth more than it usually is. So that's a plus. If you are trading in a car, you're in a better position than you might have been at some point.
Let's go to Joanne is calling in. Hello, Joanne.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Great. I have a 2014 Jeep Cherokee Latitude, and it's over 100,000 miles on it, and I can't get the gas to go into the tank without having to pump it constantly. And I've been told that the whole gas tank has to be taken off and had like a quote of $500. Does that sound like anything that's common?
That is the thing that actually happened to me, but it wasn't the gas tank. It's actually the fuel vapor canister. which is a thing that you can fill with gasoline by accident by overfilling your tank. That's one of the reasons that they fill. That was an expensive fix. That was about $1,000 a long time ago. So I don't know what would be wrong with your fuel tank that would make that happen, but that could be, unfortunately, a very expensive fix.
This is a 2014 Jeep's model, did you say, Joanne?
Yeah, it's a Jeep Cherokee. It's the first year that they came out with the Jeep Cherokee.
Has it always been this way?
No, it just started. I just hit 100,000 miles, and I think it's some kind of filter in there. And
yeah,
I've had it in for repair.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at 100,000 miles, maybe it is. I mean,
I've had it in for repair at a Firestone place, and the guys were great, but they
had no
didn't
answer.
Know how to fix it.
Yeah.
And they fixed it for, like, two fill-ups, and then it's done doing it again.
Well, so, maybe, well, you know what, you could. I was about to say take it to a dealer, but then, you know, you have to pay more.
Well, I called a dealer.
Yeah.
And, a Jeep dealer, and they said that they never heard of it before. And
what?
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that either.
Yeah, call a different dealer.
That may
okay. Okay.
Good luck, Joanne. Thanks
all right,
for calling
thanks
in.
A lot. Appreciate
you betcha.
It.
One other thing I wanted to touch on before we wrap this up, Tom, is the all electric automobile and the fact that Bentley, you know, Bentley, one of the most expensive cars in the world.
Yep.
Is preparing to go all electric?
Yeah, that's an interesting story, and it's one of the things that I think we'll see more from premium brands than mainstream brands, because they're in a position where their buyers all have access to electricity. They're probably, their vehicles are not their primary vehicles.
Right.
So I think that we're getting a little bit past the early adopter stage on EVs, but we're still sort of there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that a premium brand is a great place to start. And electric motors, electric drivetrains, serve premium manufacturers very well because you can extract considerable horsepower from an electric motor. Also, electric motors are very quiet. They're very efficient running. And they can be packaged differently and sometimes more easily than can a gasoline engine. So I think we're going to see more of this. Cadillac is talking about doing the same thing fairly soon. We're not too far away from seeing. Well, we do already have an electric Porsche out on the market now. So we're going to be seeing more of this. And manufacturers are going to be doing this, one, to make sure that people know that they're keeping tech, but because stockholders like to see that they're keeping up with technology as well.
Yeah,
so
well,
we're going to see more and more announcements.
Right. Well, there's also the things that, you know, it's like buying a new phone. You need the new accessories. If you buy an electric car, my son-in-law has one, and he has a charging station right outside his back door, which, of course, you need if you're going to drive this electric car. And they really haven't, I don't believe, solved the distance per charge ratio. I don't think they go that far, like under 400 miles per charge or something like that. And then it takes X amount of time to charge, and you have to find a place to charge. So it's not mainstream by any sense yet, although I do feel that somewhere down the road, electricity is going to have to be used because it's fuel efficient and we're going to run out of gas, so to speak.
Yeah, charging at home works if you have a home charger, but to your point, it takes roughly overnight to fully charge most EVs at a home charger if you have the station. And that's not where everyone needs to be when you're on the road. You can't travel beyond 300 miles easily because you have to stop. Although fast charging is coming, it's not coming quite as fast as the EVs are coming.
Well, thanks for being with us, Tom. Appreciate it. Have a great holiday season, and I hope to talk to you again.
Well, you too. The pleasure was all mine.